they say that horribly annoying. But you'll never hear it. So other than that, because we have time, is there any, if you think of something in our break that you really feel, oh, why didn't I say we should discuss this? Please be sure you do. Is that okay?
Sure.
All right. So the way it goes is we have a musical introduction to the show, then I introduce the whole show, including the second guest, okay? And I usually make a little theme of it, which you'll see. Then I'll introduce you as an entrepreneur who's the founder of Press Vibrance, and a little bit what it is,
okay.
And then we'll go right into that issue of really what is an anti-inflammatory and how can we get that from our nutrition? And that'll be your first question. Is that okay? All set?
Sure. Okay.
Okay. Stuart, we are ready. Yes. Okay, 10 seconds of silence.
When I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair on my head, not my shoulder.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold. It is the only show that is nationally syndicated. And by the way, I say that both proudly and with sadness. There should be so many shows out there about successful aging. Aging starts at age 30. And boy, you can go downhill pretty fast. But the fact is, you can also be stronger, healthier, happier, more engaged, and contribute more as you age. And that's what this is all about. That's what successful aging is. It's not about an extra year of your life. It's about the life in your years. I know that's an old idiom, and it may be a little bit boring for most people. They think it's just a phrase, but here it's not just a phrase. Now, I want to talk about our show today. We have two very special guests who are going to do something that I think is going to change not your life, but your days, your minutes. You know, Shakespeare said that life goes on at its petty pace, and the great Isaac Asimov said life goes on minutia by minutia. Well, there are small things in our lives that we need to know the truth about. And in our second guest, we're going to talk about actually germs. Remember Monk, the fictional detective who was afraid of everything and he washed his hands 100 times? Well, does that really work? How about if you go into a hospital, can you prevent germs? Well, we're going to talk to actually the leading germologist in the country, Miriam Warman, and about her new book on this. But first, we're going to introduce you to Eric Cooper. Now, Eric Cooper, at age 31, was an investment fund manager, and he had a life-threatening health crisis. And a few years later, he fixed it. And he fixed it in a very, very special, accessible way. He started a company called Pressed Vibrance. And he will tell us the truth about, because this is the fountain of truth, about juicing. What's the difference between now and the old vitamin measure days. What about other wellness products? Can we really control our diabetes? Can we really do that with nutrition? And how does it work? And we'll talk more about brain health, as we always do, in the second part of his segment. So we'll say hello right now to Eric. Eric, thank you for being with us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
All right, well, let's talk a little bit. Are we going to unpack your story about how you got to found Press Vibrance in a moment? But first, I myself take a lot of stuff, and I'm confused. What is the difference between anti-inflammatory and antioxidant, and can you really get what you need from vegetables and fruits the way we're being told?
Sure. So the answer is yes. the difference between antioxidants and anti-inflammatory, they're really almost one of the same. So antioxidants are molecules that interact with charged molecules called free radicals that are naturally produced by metabolism, the immune system, and at times, research has even shown our own thoughts. So these free radicals can pull other molecules to neutralize itself, in a way creating an inflammatory environment in one's body. So when we consume overly processed foods, dairies, meats, food-like products, more macronutrient than micronutrient-type foods, We're inviting more inflammatory triggers into our body that lessens our antioxidant levels in our body. So we have a cause and effect here.
We have a cause and effect is what you're saying.
Correct, yeah. So the more plant-based raw foods people consume, the more alkaline-rich liquids in the form of water that people consume, we enhance and protect these important vital antioxidants that we get from foods and that are found in our bodies, which in turn create an anti-inflammatory environment in our bodies. So when you look at the five leading causes of death, which includes cancer, obesity, diabetes, cardiovascular, heart disease, any autoimmune disease, any skin issue, acne, obesity, gastrointestinal diseases, ALS, MS, Alzheimer's, your common cold, aging is considered an inflammatory-based disease in itself these days. The things that limit these diseases from happening is an anti-inflammatory methodology. So when you look at for example, Dr. Otto Warburg's research, who won a Nobel Prize for proving anyone who has had or will has cancer has a body that's too acidic. Acidity is a code word for inflammation. The opposite of an acidic body is a body that is rich in alkalinity, which is code word for anti-inflammatory, or another word, rich in oxygen. And where do we get those alkaline-rich, oxygenated foods from? Plants, raw foods, specifically foods that are rich in chlorophyll. Chlorophyll is the oxygen that we breathe today on planet Earth. So anything that is green produces chlorophyll. And when we consume very rich chlorophyll-type foods, we're providing our bodies with oxygen, which is an optimal environment in our bodies.
So, you know, what sounds really doable to me, and we were talking about what is practical in our lives. You know, this is an older audience, and you would think that they're sitting home. They are not sitting home. They're listening to this on their cell phones, and they're listening to this on the app and the computer. They're running everywhere, which is why I think Oppressed Vibrance has an edge, because I have the healthiest refrigerator, Eric, in the whole world. There's so much kale and turmeric, and it's sitting there. And that's that. But if I could just take a drink with parsley and cucumber and the turmeric and the lemon and all the things that you've described as anti-inflammatory, it wouldn't take me long, and I could be doing it on the way to the gym. So I know that juicing has become, really it's a national, not a phase, but not a fad. It's something that we accept. But when you looked at Pressed Vibrance and you were putting this together, you were doing it from your own personal health journey. So this is quite different than what you might get at Jumba Juice or some of the other places you could stop along the way. Tell us a little bit about how you came to Pressed Vibrance and why it's so important in your life.
Sure. So after almost losing my life about 8 years ago due to a gastrointestinal disease called ulcerative colitis, very similar to Crohn's disease but is only found in one's large intestine, I was battling this disease for about 10 years. It was somewhat of a manageable disease by taking a pill or two a day. It manifested itself to 48 pills, 75 milligrams of prednisone. Unfortunately, my body just gave out. Long story short, ended at the Mayo Clinic, where they gave me 2 weeks to live. Within 72 hours of that news, I had my colon removed, reconstructive surgery in my small intestine to form what's called a J-pouch. It actually... functions just like any other large intestine. I function just like anybody else. And in between my two surgeries, I had to figure out a better way to live my life. I was an executive at an investment firm for 20 years, sitting down for 12, 14 hours a day, looking at a lot of screens, very immobile, ate a lot of fast food. I didn't look the part, but I was overly fed and undernourished. And I was discovered I have an autoimmune disease through this process. And if you're familiar with autoimmune diseases, you're born with it. It's part of your DNA. As much as I'm cured of ulcerative colitis, I can never get that disease again because it only lives in one's large intestine, and I don't have one anymore. I'm technically cured of that disease, but the root cause of my ulcerative colitis was my autoimmune disease. When I look back during my recovery, the root cause of my autoimmune disease was my lifestyle. So granted, we're all born with certain dispositions, if you will, in regards to genetics. People have cancer, running in their family, or diabetes, or cholesterol, or hypertension, or other autoimmune diseases such as ulcerative colitis, or lupus, or Crohn's disease, or other challenging issues, or chronic issues, I should say. But the root cause of all of these things, as I mentioned earlier, is inflammation. And so I went on a pretty hardcore, raw lifestyle. I only consumed raw foods. I eliminated the inflammatory triggers, dairy, red meat, sugars, caffeine. I started meditating every day. I started doing a tremendous amount of breath work, yoga. These are all science-backed, research-backed, anti-inflammatory exercises. So I was eating 4, 5, 6 square plant-based meals a day. I was drinking only alkaline-rich liquids, waters in particular. And I was literally putting my body back together using the science of nutrigenomics, which is the
Eric, we're going to take a little bit of a break, but the science of nutrigenomics is what we're going to be talking about when we come back, because people have to know that there is such a thing, that it is not pie in the sky. It's juice in the glass, if we could say that. We'll be right back.
Sure.
Talk about diabetes.
Thank you.
Talk about cognitive health. With Eric Cooper, and he is the founder of Fresh Vibrant. And we'll tell you a little bit more about that as well. Don't go anywhere.
For my age, da 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 da.
Here's where they put a commercial in, okay? So we're not on the air. We're going to go into our next segment. And what I would normally do is just what I told the listeners, a little bit about what is nutrigenomics, and then I love that concept of that product. Also, fire killer is something to perhaps discuss. Is there anything we'd be missing? Because this is our last segment. I'll ask you to give the website.
Certainly the fire killer is one of our biggest, most popular anti-inflammatory elixirs. Very effective.
Yeah, I'm going to ask about that. While they're putting up the next segment, I try a lot of stuff, let's put it that way. And I'm sent a lot of stuff, and I'm like a guinea pig. But when I was in Kuala Lumpur, I think it was Malaysia, I had a very bad stomach issue. And I went to a doctor who didn't speak any English, but he was a Chinese doctor, Chinese medicine practitioner. And he said, oh, you have too much fire. And he gave me some green stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I was well the next day. Is there any connection that when I saw the word fire killer, I was wondering what that meant, because I never knew what he meant by having too much fire.
Inflammation. So inflammation being heat, fire, kind of a play on words, but he's referring to the inflammatory triggers he may be noticing or experiencing, or that you may be experiencing in regards to a specific pain point that you were there for. So inflammation is the root cause of every major disease under the sun. And, based on what we eat, our own thoughts and our actions, influence, and the term is express, our genes from turning on and turning off, literally a light switch. And we have more power over our own genes than we've ever been led to believe ever. And yes, just because you're born with a... Sorry?
I always have to apologize because we have to keep on our time. We've done some great shows on genes expression, genetic expression, and the fact that we can actually make changes in our genes or, as you would say, light up some parts of it, suppress another part of it for good. So I definitely appreciate that. And I wish we could talk more, but I want to go right on to our shows because we've got our own deadlines. Stuart, we are ready. And you have wonderful information. Thank you, Eric.
Mm-hmm.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age.
And hello, hello, hello once again. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth, the Fountain of Truth about aging. And you're hearing from Eric Cooper, who is a wonderful entrepreneur who's brought us a new dimension in self-health care. And you know that this is the show that is the poster show, the cheerleader for self-health care. And Eric certainly believes in that. He's told you a little bit about his journey. He's done so well in life financially, so well in life health-wise, and he did it at a time that he maybe had two weeks to live, they tell you. So, no, he says, not me. And he creates something called Pressed Vibrance, which is not just juicing. I don't want you to think that. We may not have time to get into some of the other things, but if you already have type 2 diabetes, is a specialized diet and cleanse and juicing that you can access here and many, many other things. We're going to talk about two particular things in a moment. But, Eric, before we go any further, Pressed Vibrance, just give everybody the website so that they can get more information.
Sure. Pressed Vibrance, www.pressed, P-R-E-S-S-E-D, Vibrance, V-I-B-R-A-N-C-E.com.
So I was intrigued. I did go on the website, and I was intrigued by a couple of things. I know how committed you are, including in our discussions in between the our segments, that anti-inflammatory is the key to good health and is even the key to changing your genetics or at least having the best of your genetics show up in your life. And so there are many, many things that you look at. One of these products is called Fire Killer. And Eric didn't even know I was going to ask him about it, but I did tell him that many years ago I had a problem and I was in Malaysia, and my listeners know I travel a lot, and I went to a Chinese doctor who said as best he could, because he did not speak English, you have too much fire. And Eric knew immediately what he was talking about. And he has a product, it's called Fire Killer, and by the way, I'm going to order it. So tell everybody what that is and how you knew what he meant as soon as I said there's too much fire.
Well, just by, you know, having studied a lot of research in regards to nutritional health and a lot of other modalities in regards to, be it Eastern, Western nutritional practices, it's just common play on words when someone has indicated there's a lot of fire in one's body. It's a term that you're over-inflamed. So in regards to our fire killer, literally fire being heat or inflammation and killing of that inflammation through two of the most certainly researched anti-inflammatory foods on the planet, ginger and turmeric. I will note there are a lot of turmeric supplements out there, cumin. In theory, it's really great. In practice, you have to consume the whole root in order to get the benefits of the anti-inflammatory properties. So we press via 10,000 pounds of hydraulic pressure organic ginger and turmeric to combine to make a very potent, very anti-inflammatory elixir that you consume with diluting it with water. Every touch point of water that you drink throughout your day, and hopefully you're consuming lots of water during your day to maintain hydration, you're adding a little splash, a couple tablespoons of our fire killer to your water. And what this provides is a body that is rich in oxygen, rich in anti-inflammatory properties. It's great for joint regeneration, cellular regeneration, great for your skin. It's a beautification food, really great for the gastro tract. It's a natural diuretic. And there are literally hundreds of other nutritional benefits to ginger and turmeric. It's a great anti-diabetes, anti-cholesterol, anti-arthritic. Turmeric has been shown to lessen the effects of Alzheimer's and dementia. And it's a great beautification food in regards to regenerating the cellular agents that prevents wrinkles. So it's
I'm very, how can I say this? I'm positively susceptible. I take things and they work, right? And then other people take them and they don't work. For example, I had terrible, terrible seasickness, but ginger stopped that. So I can have a cup of tea, a ginger tea, on a boat that everybody's nauseated and I'm sitting there. Turmeric is funny for me because I try to put it in my food because I heard it was good, but I don't cook. So I ended up with a hand that was yellow because it had turmeric all over me.
Yeah.
So I think that the convenience of this, my friend, is more important to a non-cook like me than almost any other part of all the good nutrition. More importantly, I don't have to cook. I like that part. But the fact is
it doesn't work with everyone.
I think that's my point. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, not only that, but it's incredibly effective. It's much safer and effective, functional, than taking supplements. These are real whole foods, fresh-pressed, living nutrients versus a very overly dried-up tablet that really God knows what's in them, to be honest with you, at the end of the day. So it's incredibly functional. It tastes great if you're into the taste of ginger. And diluting it in water makes it just a very functional, practical way to just have one of those additional touch points of anti-inflammatories throughout your day.
Now, I don't want to lose you without talking about Live Brain E3. Cognitive fitness and cognitive health is really important to us. We really don't have anything that's worked. Every time there's been an over-the-counter or a type of herb, 5 minutes later, they say, it doesn't work. And that doesn't happen all that often with holistic medicine. It's generally, you know, if there's a consensus that it's working, it stays put on the shelf. But everything's been flying off the shelf is not working for cognitive health. Tell us a little bit about this. We've got about a minute to do it, but I think you can certainly do this. And anybody who's interested, just take a look at Prist Vibrance. Remember, this is not an ad. There's no payment here. This is not pay for play. This is something I think you ought to know about. Okay? So, Eric, tell us about E3. I think it's called Live Brain.
E3 Live Brain On is the name of the product. So,
okay.
E3 Live is a company that produces Brain On, which is an algae-based product. So algae, when we were earlier talking about oxygen-rich foods, algae is the richest source of chlorophyll on the planet. It's the greatest source of oxygen. It's literally responsible for the oxygen we're breathing today. And so they bottle this and they freeze it. And one of their products called Brain On, which is also filled with phycocyan, which has shown to support a whole body, but mainly brain mental health in regards to clarity, less stress.
Well, you know what? We have to say goodbye. We'll say goodbye on the other end of our show. Don't go away, Eric. But, could be a whole release of mine. I don't know. Take a look at it for yourself. And don't go anywhere. We'll be back and we will kill germs. Eric?
Yes.
Okay, stay on for just a minute because I want to say a proper goodbye. Do we have our next guest on yet? Okay, Eric is going to stay on for a little bit because we're going to say a proper... Yeah, because we're going to do a proper goodbye. Yeah, that's fine. I meant I suppose spent an hour with the other guest. Okay. Going to do the same. The only difference is I'm just going to thank you and ask you to repeat your website again. Okay?
Sure. Yep.
So I hope this is what you were expecting and that it went well for you.
Yeah, no, I honestly wasn't expecting anything. This is not one of my first radio shows, so appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Where were you as a financial? I'm a financial gerontologist. That's what I really do for a living. Do you ever hear of such a thing?
financial what?
Gerontologist.
No, I've never heard of a financial gerontologist.
Yeah, some of the big companies like Merrill and so on have on in-house ones, but they're mostly in the area of research. But applied financial gerontology looks at clients who are 55 plus. For issues of financial aging. It's interesting. The taxations, RMDs, different things that happen. And you don't do any work on Wall Street anymore, do you? Or do you do both?
Now? No, I don't. Nope.
So you're fully
this
committed to
it.
Yeah. It's great.
100%.
100%. I looked at the website. It looks like it's going well.
Well, we literally just, we just launched our site not too long ago, so we're really trying hard, working hard to
make it
maintain the momentum. Yep.
Okay, that's wonderful. So our next guest is just being set up. She'll be on simultaneously with you, but you won't hear. We'll just be able to say a proper goodbye. Okay? So good luck on this. This is wonderful.
Thank you.
I'll have to get that fire killer. Although I don't like ginger, I think I need the product.
So everybody needs the product. We're all inflamed.
Oh, for sure. Right, I'm going to be quiet now. Let the producer, because he's got a lot of things going on at the same time. Yeah, we're all ready. And when I say goodbye to you, Eric, you will hang up. I won't, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age.
And I can't believe it, but we're half through with our show today. We're about to introduce you to Dr. Marianne Warman and her wonderful book, The Handbook, Surviving in a Germ-Filled World, and we're going to protect ourselves. Before we do, let me just say goodbye to our first wonderful guest, Eric Cooper. And he has founded Pressed Vibrance. We've talked about how anti-inflammatories affect us. I think we're kind of amazed at that it's almost a cradle-to-grave issue for every part of our body and every disease we know. So we thank you so much, Eric. And before you hang up on us, just tell us once again, how do we find Pressed Vibrance?
Through our website. Our website is pressvibrance.com, P-R-E-S-S-E-D, Vibrance, V-I-B-R-A-N-C-E.com.
Thank you so much, and good luck. You're making us healthier.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And now I'm going to introduce you to our second guest of this great show. And Miriam did not hear the first part of the show, but Miriam is a professor, an author. Her latest book, The Handbook, Surviving in a Germ-Filled World, 2016. She's written so many articles, I can't even tell you the number. She's been a college professor and scientist since the mid-1980s, but just the other day I met her for the first time. It was my pleasure at a terrific meeting of what's considered to be gurus. And they put these dinners together for different types of gurus. So supposedly, at least I'm supposed to know what I'm talking about. I'm not so sure. But I know for sure that Dr. Miriam Warman knows what she's talking about. Miriam, thank you so much for being on our show today.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
Oh, I have so many questions. All right, I'm going to start with this. We need to protect ourselves germ-wise. And we will talk about germs in a hospital and that sort of thing, but I want to start with germs just in our home. We already know, you know, when we're in public baths, don't touch the doorknob. But what about our own house? What's lurking here so that we should protect ourselves? Because, look, it's the one place in the world we feel comfortable, and we feel that we're not being attacked. But we have to have our consciousness raised. So what's the fountain of truth on that one?
Well, the threat at home is not as difficult as when you go out and about and you're in touch and in contact with other people's germs, because you generally are exposed to your family's germs on a regular basis. But of course you want to keep your home clean and you want to change your towels on a regular basis. When somebody comes into the household who is sick, there are ways to reduce the risk of spreading it around the family. And if you are careful and you don't share towels and you don't share glasses and cups and other implements, you know, in the household, then that can reduce the risk. And that's an important thing to know for families, especially families with young children. My own grandchildren, I know when one of them catches it, their siblings are all going to get sick. It's just so hard to keep them from spreading it throughout the household. But there are things you can do to reduce the risk.
All right, so that part of it seems to be common sense. And let me just repeat the name of your book, and I do want to talk about grandkids next. So Dr. Miriam Moorman has made us not into germophobes, but germ-awares. People who are really aware. And it has made a difference in everyone's life. The handbook, Surviving in a Germ-Filled World. All right, we hate to say it, but we can go from our own home to our adult children's home. And there's the grandchildren, and they are sick. And I will tell you personally that I don't have grandkids. I wish I did. And I'm envious, but my friends get sick all the time. And they'll always tell me, Sandy had a cold, so I had a cold and it lasted 3 weeks. And this will go on. How do you protect that, and what should we be aware of?
Well, this is a delicate issue, of course, because you do want to protect yourself, but you don't want to isolate yourself. And when you go into your household, the household of small children, your grandkids, you're surrounded by love and germs. And so, you know, I've had situations when my little grandbaby sneezed in my face. You know, what can I do? It happened. You're changing your grandson's diaper, and he's wiggling around, and it's very hard not to touch things, right? Your little grandkid comes over to you and hands you the half-eaten cookie or is dripping her ice cream all over you. So you try to clean up as best you can and try to keep their hands clean as well. And that's also a challenge, you know. Sometimes you need to run after them and make sure they wash their little hands before they eat. But you try to be consistent, and if somebody really is sick in the household, then it's probably a good idea to take a day or two off from seeing the grandchildren if you can, and try to avoid getting sick by not being exposed, if that's possible. Sometimes it's not
possible. I'm going to move us to another location now. And because germs are location-specific and we need to be aware of them, we go through the world pretty happy, I hope, and not too worried, but we should be. And that is, recently my father-in-law, who was in assisted living, was ill. So we were in and out of hospitals. That's number one. Then in and out of rehab, number two. Number three, we visited him on Father's Day, and he was fine. But, of course, he wanted to share food. So let's talk first about assisted living, because we're going to be touching all kinds of things at an assisted living community or in a nursing home when we go visit our loved ones. We'll start with that, and then I want to talk about sharing of food in a whole separate way. So, Miriam, let's attack these special spaces like nursing homes, assisted living, and even hospitals first.
Well, in any healthcare facility, including assisted living, the issues become magnified because the patients can be very vulnerable and might be more apt to not only catch some type of infection, but have serious ramifications. So hand washing and hand hygiene becomes even more important. And the reason, one of the reasons I wrote the handbook was that I had done some research and learned that those individuals, healthcare professionals that are supposed to know what to do and to wash their hands, they're not all doing that. And so it really does pose a tremendous risk. It's a risk to life. There are about 90,000 deaths every year of people who acquire hospital-acquired infections. Some of these infections are the so-called superbugs that are antibiotic-resistant. So people who get sick with these, they can't even be treated properly with antibiotics, and they may not respond to drug treatment. So, yes, this is where the most concern lies. And some of the things that you can do is you can try to ensure that those caretakers around your loved one are doing what they're supposed to be doing. Even if you feel bashful about mentioning it, it's very important to be the advocate and to demand that people, in a nice way, but demand that people wash their hands before they touch the patient, before they touch your parent. Even when you visit, any visitor who comes into the room should be washing hands before they interact with the patient and when they leave. And so the simple act of hand washing does make a difference. And in healthcare, it's absolutely imperative because it's a life and death issue.
Now, I want your opinion on this one. Everywhere I see, whether it's Walmart or whether it's in a hospital, wherever, the, you know, the dispensers of you know, liquids, maybe liquid, you know, which we carry in our own purse. To, I'll make it generic because I don't want to. The reason I'm struggling is I don't want to use a brand name. But let's call them hand sanitizers. Do they work?
Yes,
are they as good as soap and water, or what's the scoop?
The alcohol-based hand sanitizers do work. They're very effective. They are not effective against every type of germ. In the hospitals, they're using them, but they also use them cautiously because they know that there are certain bacterial strains that are not totally killed by alcohol. But they are effective. It's certainly better than nothing. It's much better than nothing. But soap and water really does the job. And if you have access to a sink with warm water and soap, then that's the best way to cleanse your hands. I don't carry alcohol-based hand sanitizer in my own purse, but I do try to be aware of what I've touched, and I try to wash my hands before I eat or before I touch my eyes or nose or mouth, and that's a way to reduce the risk. But certainly the alcohol-based hand sanitizers are effective, and they're valuable, and so I recommend that they be used.
When we come back from our little break, we're going to talk about how this all started, because I learned about it in Hungary when I was there recently. We're going to talk about sharing food, which is something that we all do and we actually enjoy doing. And now the big chains of restaurants are encouraging it in many, many ways. We want to talk about that. Of course, we're speaking with Dr. Miriam Moorman, who is the author of the handbook, Surviving in a Germ-Filled World. Don't you go away, because these are the things that can affect you day to day. You want to know the truth. We'll be right back.
And I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da.
Okay, so we're off. They put in a commercial here. And
yes.
So thank you. I didn't get a chance to even say hello because we were going from one guest to the other. How are you?
Oh, good, thanks. Yes, it's really good to be with you, and these are such important issues. I'm really happy to be able to, inform people about them.
Well, right, and I'm actually going through your the material that I got here, so I'm making sure that we're covering everything. But there may
Can
be
we talk
something.
About travel? Let's talk
yeah,
a little
that,
bit about
right.
travel.
Maybe,
yes.
Let's talk about travel. What else do you – I don't want to miss anything. I want to talk about food sharing. I want to talk about travel. I want to talk about how to get your book, which is going to be the first thing I'm going to ask when you come back, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm, this is just something that I want to ask. I see people, for the first time in the subway wearing a face mask. And I see them all over when I go to China. So I don't know if they work or if that's just another thing that people are buying, you know, like a fad. So I'd like
to ask you that question. It helps. It's not so accepted in our society. The people look at that in a kind of alarmed way. So I'm not sure it started with bird flu
in China.
Mm-hmm.
And the Chinese, they're all the Chinese wear. I mean, not all, but a lot. So
yes,
yes, it is cultural. But I'm wondering if it's effective.
It is.
Yeah.
You might even want to do that in the house if somebody's very sick. You might want to try to avoid catching it or to try to avoid that person spreading it. Have a face mask under some circumstances when you need to be around the person. But I think it's going to be hard for our society to accept that.
I don't know. I bought one.
Challenge.
I think you're right. I bought one last time I was in China, and I took it on my latest trip, and I never wore it. It is cultural. But, okay, Sue, we are ready. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Yes?
No, you have to be quiet now, and you'll hear music, you'll see. Okay.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da.
And hello, 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 this is Adrian Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. And in this segment of our show, we're going to speak with Dr. Miriam Warman. We've been talking with her. Her latest book, The Handbook, Surviving in a Germ-Filled World. And she is a scientist. She's a college professor. She's a student of what can happen when her grandkids sneeze in her face. And she wanted to help you out so that you can navigate this germ-filled world without looking like Monk, the fictional detective who wouldn't touch anybody. But Miriam, tell us first where we can get the book and some of the things that we're going to learn from it, and then we will talk about travel and food sharing and all the fun things that can be germ-filled.
The handbook, Surviving in a Germ-Filled World, is available on Amazon.com and at the publisher's website, www.UPEnancyEEdward.com. University Press of New England is the publisher. Yes, I'm very pleased to be able to give some advice. In the handbook, I have many, many tips that can help to keep you healthier under a lot of different types of circumstances.
Yeah, so let's take the circumstance of travel, something that I love and, frankly, have been sick many times. And I don't know exactly why. I do know one was life-threatening, and that was typhoid fever. And I know that that was from food, that's a foodborne. But there's so many, there is some treachery out there if you really want to see the world. So how do we protect ourselves?
Well, the good news is that people over 50 are very active seniors now and are traveling, and not only traveling, but traveling to exotic locations, which can pose certain types of risks. So some of the things that you can do to stay healthier in traveling is be aware of what you're touching. You know, I have what we call the filthy five, the things that you touch, that you encounter, that can be particularly risky with regard to germs because everybody's touching them, like doorknobs and handrails and phones and public or borrowed pens and money. And don't get me started on money, because currency is handled by person to person to person. And I've actually done research on money. Foreign currency is loaded with germs, as is the American dollar. I've done research at William Patterson University on how bacteria can transfer from hands to money, from money to gloves, and so on. And so traveling, if you want to stay healthier, you do need to be aware of the things that you're touching and keep your hands clean, and the food that you're eating. So you don't want to eat at sketchy places if you can avoid it. You want to see that someplace looks reputable. Even that's not a guarantee. I just did an article about a woman who was traveling in Eastern Europe and went to a restaurant that looked very reputable and very nice, fancy, and she got very ill, and now she suffers from kidney disease because of a rare infection. So there are risks, and I do want to continue to travel. We've been to Africa, and we've been to the Galapagos Islands only recently, and there are people who are traveling to far corners of the world. But you can be a safer traveler. Be aware of what you're touching on cruise ships, in airplanes, things that other people have touched. You may be exposing yourself to germs, but you can be a healthier traveler.
On a personal note, I do like exotica, and I was in Bangkok this January, and I wouldn't eat the street food because I had that typhoid experience in Africa. All right. Everybody's eating and munching, delicious, the best you can get. But I went to a fancy restaurant. Guess who got sick? Me.
Yes.
Because
yes.
I really wasn't paying attention. Don't judge a book by its cover. If you
are
in a foreign country, ask to see the kitchen. And they'll show you. And then you'll know that whether you sit down or you walk out the door. But I want to go back to food in general. Here's something I do, and I would bet my listeners do it. We share food. We sit down. Everybody has a different dish, and then you put your fork in the other person's dish. I think I eat more from other people's plates than I eat from my own plate. Am I doing something wrong here? Sometimes I get worried.
You know, it depends on the situation. Sometimes you can do that safely. When I go out to eat with my husband, we very typically split the meals and share. And I don't even want to get sick from him if he's going to be sick, so I try not to share forks and other utensils. But what you can do with your friends is make kind of a community dish, serve yourself, and then eat from your own plate with your own fork, and have some type of a serving fork or spoon that nobody is putting in their mouth. And that can really reduce the risk. So there are very good ways to do this that would reduce your risk of sharing germs along with the food.
You know, what's interesting is that I noticed this at Applebee's. I will use a brand name. And there are many, many others, Fridays and so on. They have the sharing meals now where they do give you one plate. It's not just that they're splitting the plate in the kitchen like a fancy restaurant might do if you ask for, you know, if the portions are too big. They're already giving you the sharing plates and two forks, and you're putting your forks into the same plate together. And they call these the friends meals. So we're not a germ-conscious country. We feel because we are Western and so advanced in our sanitation, we don't have to worry about these things, only in other countries. But that's not true, and it is proliferating. So before we leave, I just want to remind everybody that you should raise your consciousness, particularly if you're going to travel, you're out in the world. It's Dr. Miriam Warman's The Handbook, Surviving in a Germ-Filled World, with special emphasis on if you're in a hospital or you're visiting people in a hospital. And now, Miriam, kind of the last word. I asked you what you thought about those things that people are wearing on their face. They do this in China all the time since the bird flu. But I've been seeing it in New York City subways, the face masks. valuable, not valuable? We have a second or two.
It does have value. It will definitely reduce the risk of being exposed to airborne germs. But culturally, it's not very accepted yet.
Yeah, it may not take flight. Well, we thank you for being with us. We had such a fast and remarkable show today. When we see you next, we're going to be continuing our quest. We have a very serious quest here, and that is for successful aging. But we're never going to make that if we don't accept aging in the first place and see what it means to us as individuals to have these extra 30 years and to live it well. So get out of there, kids, and make it happen. Okay. Very, very good.
That was super. That was a pleasure.
Super. That was wonderful. Yeah. So you know that it's archived forever on our website, generationboldradio.com. We'll send you all that, and it'll be heard this Saturday night in some shows. Well, Sunday morning from 10 to 11. Oh, and the following Saturday, Stuart is telling me. Sunday morning from 10 to 11, and the following Saturday some stations play it. Okay. And
what stations are in our area? Maybe Stuart can send me a list of.
Yeah, I can tell you right now, none. We're in 38 stations, none of it here.
Mm-hmm.
The way people hear it here, we have a lot of listeners here, is they go to their free app, which is called BizTalk, B-I-Z Talk, and you could just hear it live if you want, from your telephone even.
Oh, great. Okay, and I'll also look up the archive.
Yeah.
And I thank you very much. It was a pleasure, and I hope we can connect another time. That would be great.
That's wonderful. But one other thing, because you're on the front page of our website starting Wednesday, if you could get us a picture of the front page of your book, we'll put that on too.
Oh, great. I'll do that. I'll send it right to you, right?
Yep.
All right. Well, have a good weekend, Adrian. It's really been a pleasure, and thank you for having me.
Absolutely, and it's great work, really great work, and thank you so much. We'll talk again. We will meet, okay?
Okay, great. Take care now. Yeah.